Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. I'm continuing my discussions about Armenia and Armenians around the world, and I am beyond thrilled and honored to have Mary Basmajian, also known as Funny Armenian Girl, a comedian, a producer, a writer, based in Pasadena, California, joining me this morning from her home in Pasadena, California. Good morning, Mary. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Serge. Thank you for having me.
I have to tell you, I am beyond excited and thrilled that you agreed to join me on my small podcast here in New York with Robinhood Radio. So firstly, I just want to express my deep, deep gratitude and appreciation for your willingness to give us a chance to hear you and then also to wake up so early to join us.
Of course. Thank you for having me. I love waking up early.
Same here. I'm an early riser. Mary, I want to start the podcast with one of your quotes, which I really liked because I think I have the same feeling as well. So I identified very strongly with it. I will first go with your quote that I was born in a melting pot, but I am not going to lose my flavor. I
yes.
have to keep my Armenian culture as much as I can. And mm-hmm. I want to say why I relate to this so much is because I have often said when I'm interviewed or people have spoken about me is that no matter how you slice, cut, or slice me, I'm an Armenian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that urge or that need to maintain your Armenian culture.
You know, I think it starts from home. My grandma, but all of my grandparents had a great impact on my upbringing. They practically raised me. And my paternal grandmother, Mari, who I was named after, she always instilled in me that it was very important to maintain the language, to maintain my culture and learn about it and teach even others, non-Armenians, about it as well and how important it was. And from there on, I've always kept that in my mind.
And Mari was a very influential person in your life. Both your grandparents mm-hmm. were. Because
correct.
Did you end up living with Mari or with your maternal grandmother?
My maternal grandmother is the one that in 2018, my grandfather passed away. And I had to move in with her and be her caretaker for 24 hours. She needed a caretaker and I lived with her for a year and I took care of her.
So both your grandparents were either from Alexandria or Cairo, Egypt,
mm-hmm.
went to Armenia. And mm-hmm. did your parents meet in Armenia?
No, my parents met here in Hollywood.
Okay.
They were both teenagers when they moved. Both families moved here in 1979. I don't think they knew each other in Armenia, and they met here through a mutual friend. And of course, I don't know if you're aware, but Egyptian Armenians have an annual picnic. And so I think like Egyptian Armenians, like they always keep in touch and maybe like through mutual friends, they met here in America.
That's right. And when you say in Hollywood, our listeners may not be aware of it, but on Hollywood Boulevard and Western Street, am I correct about that? There is a sign that a plaque on the intersection, Little Armenia.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. A lot of Armenians migrated there. So in Los Angeles, Hollywood was the first town which welcomed a lot of Armenians and a lot of Armenians, whether from Armenia or different parts of the world when they migrated to the U.S. I assume it began in the 50s, 60s, and continued into the 70s.
Yeah.
So that little Armenia. So do you know if that picnic still goes on?
I'm not sure now. It was my grandparents that would go. But if I was to find out, I would love to, you know, go and hang out. And I think, honestly, it was for a lot of the Egyptian Armenians that had, like, repatriated back to Armenia or moved to other parts. And then they found themselves again in Los Angeles and they wanted to gather again. Mm-hmm. And speaking age-wise, I believe a lot of those people, you know, they're either really old now or they've passed on, but I'm hoping their kids and grandkids still gather. This is something I would like to find out. I'd look into it.
I'm sure. And now there is another epicenter of Armenians in diaspora, and that's Glendale.
Oh yes.
Which I don't know if you know or not, I lived in Glendale on Brand and Stockton for about 2 years.
Nice.
Yeah. It was in around the time that you were born, 1988 to 1989, 90.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mary, you are a Armenian that has grown up in Los Angeles area.
Mm-hmm.
And you were born and raised in Los Angeles area, two parents that are Armenians. When I came to the U.S. in 1978, I went to an Armenian school called Mesropian in Pico Rivera. And there were a lot of second-generation Armenian kids that didn't speak the language at all. So I am wondering what it is about you or what it is about your family, but I think it's more about you, because I think you know, when I was a young man and in that high school, there were a lot of parents that wanted their kids to speak English, Armenian, but it was a lot easier for everyone to speak in English, and many of them had very, very difficult time speaking Armenian. So I'm curious, for you as an Armenian woman, what motivated you and what was the thought or the impetus in you that said, oh, I want to speak Armenian. I want to be involved with this.
Oh, so much. Well, first of all, if I tried speaking English in the house, like with cousins or friends, whatever, when I was a kid, my grandpa would get really pissed. The paternal grandpa.
Get really upset. Did you say he would get very upset?
Yes, he would get, he'd get really upset. He would like, he would kind of chase us around with his cane sometimes. He'd be like, "Astuni mech hayerenga khostin," like, you have to speak Armenian in this house. So there was the fear aspect. But also I noticed, like, and you know, with kids, when they see that someone is getting positive feedback or, the adults pay attention and they're positive about it. I noticed that the adults were very fond of the children that knew how to read and write Armenian, and the ones that would recite Armenian poems. And I was like, oh, I want to be liked by the adults. So and grandma always said, like, it's really important to learn the language. But I also felt really happy when I would either recite a poem really well, or I would do Armenian workbooks and things of that sort. And grandma would give me like positive feedback, and she would like that. That kind of encouraged me. My father also, he would, around when I was 5, my parents divorced, and when he would pick me up on the weekends, he would take me to Abru Bookstore, which is a really famous Armenian bookstore here in LA. It's in Glendale. And he would help me like pick out some workbooks, and he would make me do, you know, Armenian workbooks on the weekends. Sometimes I hated that as a kid, I'll admit. But now looking back, I really appreciated the work that he put in, and and his mom too. Him and his mom really instilled that in me to want to go after learning the language, reciting poems. I even went to Saturday school because my family, we couldn't really afford private Armenian school full time. So I did go to like regular public school, but on the weekends, Saturday mornings, I would go to a Saturday Armenian school.
Tell us about an incident that happened in that school. You questioned the teacher and the teacher responded poorly.
I'm sorry, can you repeat that again? You got cut off.
There was an incident in that Saturday school that you questioned what the teacher was saying and you were quasi-punished. Do you know the incident I'm addressing?
I think it might be the Sunday school one.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. The Sunday school one, what happened is I was just wondering about the Bible. Because I was like, you know, it's been passed down by so many people. How do we know it's, you know, it's accurate, basically? And she slapped me, which I, you know. I
mean, This is 1990s, right? This is 1990s
in Armenia. Yeah,
so slapping a child in 1990s in the USA is just unheard of. But among Armenians, it's like, that's how you discipline.
Yeah. And she was like, she knew my grandma. So like families like knew each other and things like that. And it wasn't as serious. And so, you know, she felt the need that I was questioning too. And then when I told grandma, because I cried and I came home and told grandma, she was, she laughed. And she, in her own way, I think, like, I'm trying to remember how she explained it, but grandma always had a way of explaining things to kids in, like, a better way. And, like, a more, she was a little bit more understanding and, you know, she was nice. Also, she probably bought me some ice cream, like, to kind of, you know, even it out.
No, it's interesting because the reason I bring that up is because your intellect, your criticism, your desire to understand or not just accept was really perceived as a disrespect. And I, as an Armenian kid from Tehran, Iran, I was beat up quite a bit because of my questioning was perceived as disrespect, which is one of the more absurd traditions of Armenian culture, that you never question the instructor, you never question your elders.
Right, exactly. And I was always taught to respect your elders. So right. No matter what, you have to respect what they say, even if they're wrong or if you feel they're wrong, which I'm kind of, to tell you the truth, I'm kind of coming around to the idea of that it's not, maybe it's not right to teach our kids just to respect the elders just because they're elders. They should question, I think.
100%. I agree with you. And I think there is a way of encouraging a person to ask the question and answer the question. And if you are a wise Armenian person, you would humbly accept that, oh, maybe I'm not fully right in what I'm saying.
But right.
What your teacher did and what my teachers did in the past was to just basically tell me to shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're a student and you follow what I say. Mary, I want to sort of segue into how you learned, we have about 3 minutes left, how you learned at a young age, because you looked different, you were a plump girl, you were shy, and you were sort of bullied. You learned early on that laughter can fend off bullying. Am I putting words in your mouth, or is that an accurate statement?
maybe in the moment I didn't consciously as a kid didn't realize that it was, you know, laughter warded off bullying, but I did realize that it would give me like positive feedback from people, or like with the adults, like I said earlier, with the language, like if I made people laugh or the stories I would tell. And this kind of started around, I want to say maybe middle school or high school. It wasn't so much in elementary. Elementary was still, I was getting bullied and I was the only Armenian kid in the class with divorced parents. So like it was a lot of things going on. So back then I didn't, you know, really do the comedy thing. But as I got older, I started like kind of telling what would happen on the bus to my friends, like anecdotal stuff, you know, like just telling stories. And then little by little, I went to a first stand-up comedy show and I realized this is something that I wanted to do. And my friends encouraged it. And that's how I kind of got into it. And of course, there's that whole thing of make fun of yourself before they make fun of you. So you beat them to the punch.
I fully understand that. And for our listeners, to clarify something, you said that you were the only Armenian kid with divorced parents, and how divorced is looked down upon amongst Armenians.
Back then, yes. In the 90s, that was very rare. And my entire class was Armenian.
Right. So you sort of were singled out already. And this is a great way of creating a segue for our next episode for what the traditional Armenian boundaries are and how both you and I have grown up in them, and how they have both encouraged us, informed us, but at the same time, they have also at times suffocated us. Mm-hmm. This is Serge from Serevan Restaurant and Flavor Matters. I have the pleasure of speaking with the artist, comedian, writer, Mary Basmajian. We hope that you will tune in for our next segment. Thank you.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Serevan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Serevan Restaurant in Amenia, New York, serevan.com on the web.